Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. I want to talk tonight about finishing your race, better yet, finishing your course. Father, help us this evening as we look at this scripture. Very familiar passage of scripture, very popular passage of scripture, preached on often. May you help us tonight, give us some insight, Father, and some help. We pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to know something about this scripture. I heard this, the part I've heard, I've taken part of what I heard from camp this week and kind of modified it for our own church here. But we will notice here, verse number one, it says that we are to run the race. This race is a Christian race. If you notice the verse number one, many of the words we find here are in the plural. It says, seeing we, that's a plural word, also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses. That's also a plural, witnesses, speaking of more than one. Let us, speaking of more than one, lay aside every weight, in the sense that it's so easy to beset us, talk about the body of Christ. Let us run with patience and the race that's set before us. And so we find here the words we and us and witnesses. But if you look at the word the race, it's speaking of just one race. It's singular. And so oftentimes we have this idea that the Christian life is your race and my race. We all have different races. But really, if you think about it, the Christian life is just one race. It's the race that we run. And in that race, we have different course. We have a course that we must run. If you think about it this way, if you're familiar with high school track or track at all, they have sometimes relay races. And so everybody has a course they must run in that one race. And as they finish their course, they hand the baton off to the next person in the race, and they finish their course. If you look at the scripture, look at Acts 20 and also 2 Timothy chapter 4. Acts 20 and 2 Timothy chapter 4. Notice the wording here. Acts 20, I preached from that just a few weeks ago. But in Acts 20, and in verse number 24, watch the wording of what Paul says here. As Paul was going to Jerusalem, and he was cautioned about the bonds that he would face, the afflictions that he would face, he said, verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish, watch it, my course. He didn't say the race, though he was in the race. He said, I want to finish my course with joy. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter number 4, at the end of Paul's life, watch the words again that he said. Many of you probably know this verse by heart. But verse number 7, 2 Timothy 4, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You see, the race that God has put us in is a race that's been ran since the beginning of the garden. It's a race that everyone is in. You get born again, you get placed in the race. However, as you get placed in the race, there's a course that you must run, that your generation must run that course. And Paul is saying here, I am to pick up where others have finished. I'm in the race, and they finished their course. So when they finished their course, then I'm to pick up where they finished and run that race. He also was saying, I in the past, I finished my course, but he passed the baton on where others would start. He was a mentor to Timothy and to Titus, and so he encouraged them to run their race, to run their course, to get in the race and to be faithful to what they've been given, what they have received. And so tonight we, as a Christian, I want to understand that we are all not in just our own little race, but we are in the race, the Christian life, the gospel, being a witness for Christ. Being Christians in our marriages and in our homes and our workplaces. That's the race that God has set before us. It's the race that we all run. But you must run your course. You have a course that you must run. So I want to address three different groups of people tonight in this message. I want to say, first of all, tonight, to the generation before me, those that are older than I am, I want tonight I want to encourage you tonight and say, finish your course. Finish your course. We find in Acts 20, verse 23, it says, say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Here's Paul saying that if he goes to Jerusalem to the Passover, that they're waiting for him to take him and captive and put him in prison and afflict him. But Paul said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And so I want to say tonight to you that are before me, generation before me, that you have a course to run in this race. It's the race that we all run. It's the race that our church must be involved in. It's the race that when you got born again, you got placed into. It's the race, but in the race, you have your course. And to those that are before me, I say to you tonight to finish your course. You can't retreat. You can't retreat. You can't retreat for fear of bonds or affliction. You can't say, I've ran my course. I've been down the road a little ways, and I'm older now, and I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of the fight. I'm weary. I don't want to face any more problems. I'm going to retreat. You can't retreat from the battle. You must finish your course. You can't retreat from your service. We have the idea that sometimes as we get older that let the younger folks do it. But you have a course to run. You have a course to finish. And it's not finished when you say it's finished. It's finished when God takes you home. And you have to finish your course. So you can't retreat from your service where God placed you. Serve happily and serve faithfully. Now I realize that as you get older, there are some things you can no longer do. But you can always serve God in some capacity. You can't retreat from your course. You can't retreat from your standards. It seems like we live in a generation today that it's not just young folks changing the standards, but it's also the older folks that are running before us and changing their standards. They get a little weary and well-doing. They get a little tired of the battle. They get tired of being constantly pushed against and constantly fighting. So they lower their standards. But listen, you didn't make those standards, so you can't lower the standards.
Right.
You didn't set them in the first place. They were given to you by somebody else who passed the baton on to you. And so you don't have the right to change the standards, to retire from the standards. You must hold fast to the Word of God. Hold fast to the standards that God's Word has set in place in your life. You can't retire. You must finish your course. You can't retire. You can't retreat. You can't retire. Paul said, I can't count my life more dear than serving God. So tonight I say to the older folks with due respect, and with thankfulness of what you've done. But you can't begin to count your life and comfort more dear than God's will. Listen, I think we all get to a place where it's like, you know what, I've fought a few battles. I've got some battle scars. And so now I just want to retire in peace. And I want to retreat and retire and just live a few years in happiness without any problems. I realize the church does well, but the church also, there's people there. And people bring problems. I just want to have some peace in my life for a while. You can't retire. You see, God's will is more important than your comfort and your convenience. You can't retire from your walk with God. Okay, so you walk with God for many years. You read your Bible and you prayed. But there's never an age you can come to and say, well, he says, I've read the Bible enough. I prayed enough. I can retire from that. You can't retire from your walk with God. You can't retire from your place in the body of Christ. When you got born again, God gave you gifts. God gave you a place in the body. And there's no retirement from that place. So God calls you home, and so you can't retire from your place in the body. You still have a part, you still have a function, you still have a need and a provide, and there's others that need you, so you can't retreat, you can't retire. You can't be done until you finish your course. Why? There's a generation watching you. You older folks, again, I respect you, and I thank God for what you've done, but my generation is watching you. The generation of 30s and 40-year-olds are watching you. You set the example as you get older in your life of how you serve God. This idea that somehow I can retreat or retire, you don't find that in God's Word. And so I say to you, though your life may change, some things in life may change because of that, don't retreat or don't retire. Finish your course with joy. Finish because folks are watching you. You got young people watching. You got grandkids watching. You got children watching you. Again, we live in a day and age where it's not young folks changing the standards and retiring and quitting, but all older folks who have been in the battle a long time have believed the hype and media of the world and get tired of being criticized and get tired of being shamed and get tired of being despised by the world and being labeled as cultish or mean-spirited or fanaticals. And so we get a little weary of that. We just want to have a place of peace. And I say to you tonight, don't believe the media, don't believe the world's hype, and stay faithful where God's placed you. You're not a survivor of a Baptist church. You're a believer, child of God.
Amen.
Now I realize that there are some Baptist churches who can be cultish, but you're not in a cultish Baptist church.
That's right.
I'm not a dictator. I don't dictate and rule with an iron rod here. And I don't make you do what I don't try to rule your life. But God has a plan for your life. And you're not done with your course in this race until God calls you home. I say to you tonight, as older generation that have paid the price, and you've tithed, and you give the missions, and you've helped the church with the building funds, and you've moved a few times, and you've paid the price with your children and your grandchildren. I say tonight to keep on running the race, running your course until you've finished. Finish what you started. It's a good race. It's a good course. There's no shame tonight in being an old-timey believer, a Bible believer that holds true to the Word of God. Tonight I would say to you, if we were some kind of crazy cultish thing that made you drink Kool-Aid and do all kinds of crazy things, you'd have a reason to leave, a reason to quit, a reason to change. But tonight from this pulpit comes the Word of God. There's hardly a time when you can say from the pulpit, whether it's me or another speaker or a special speaker, where some kind of heresy or crazy thing has come across the pulpit, we have done the best that we can to preach God's Word from this pulpit that's straight and true. And if you can find where we're varied from that, then I dare you to show us where we're varied from that. And so tonight I say to your generation that's before me, finish your course. Tonight I say to my generation, run. To those in my generation, I say to you tonight, run. Hebrews 12:2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame that is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Tonight I want to say to the generation before, to my generation, that tonight you need to run the race. You need to run your course. Tonight you need to look behind to see ahead. Here's the problem with my generation. We're looking to the younger generation to find out what they want to serve God with. You know why all these churches are going liberal? Because they're not looking to the generation before them, looking to the generation behind them. What would you like? What do you want in a church? And they do all these stupid surveys, what people want, and give them what they want, the music and the fog lights and the stage and the little preaching, sermonettes and the health clubs and the coffee shops. They give them all this junk because they're not looking in the right direction. And God says, wait a minute, young people, wait a minute, generation. We have a great cloud of witnesses before us. Look to them and how they ran their course. When I run my course, I look to men like Pastor Mace. I look to men like Tom Porter. I look to men like Gary Hertz. I look to men like Matt Urban, who ran before me. And I watched them and how they ran. And I want to run their race like they ran their race. I want to run their course like they ran their course. I look to men like the preachers that we've had in this pulpit that are older than I am. And I say, well, how do they run their course? And they've not changed. And so tonight, we need to look behind and see ahead. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and those who have gone before us. I've never asked a young person, I never will, what do you want in the church? It's not going to happen. I'm not going to ask young folks, how do you want our school to run? I'm not going to ask I never raised my boys saying, what would you like daddy to do? Because they had no idea. So I'm going to look to those that have gone before me and ran before me their course and say, how did you do it and how did you stay faithful? So my generation, I said to you tonight, quit looking to the young folks for direction. Look ahead to Jesus Christ and those who have been faithful to serving Him and look to them. I want to say tonight to pursue God's will. We're to look to Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes and heart on Jesus Christ. I think in my generation, in my age group anyway, the temptation to look at the amusements and temptations of the world, and we get discontent with what we have. We can take our eyes off of Jesus Christ. We can look at what the world has to offer. You know, I have no problem being 49 years old. I really don't. But that 50 mark is intimidating. I don't like that word. That number just sounds weird to me, to be 50 years old. That means if I live to be 70, I have 20 years left. I want more than 20 years. I'm not done. I don't want to think about getting old and not going to get around and having health issues. And, you know, I don't want to do that. And so we get an idea, we get to looking around us at our age and begin to get discontent with where God's placed us. We begin to look for amusements and comfort and thrills. We must look to Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes upon Him. If you begin to look at the world has more to offer today than it ever had before in our history. All kinds of amusements and stupid stuff that promises happiness, but there's no joy. There's nothing there. It's empty. And so you chase this silly American dream that doesn't exist. Come on. Yeah. You never wake up like, I made it. Nope. You always wake up chasing more. And so keep your eyes upon Christ Jesus. That's where real contentment is at. There's a temptation to look at others in the race and begin to compare yourself. I've had to learn the hard way. I can't look at other preachers and compare myself to other preachers. I can't look at other churches and compare myself to other churches. God didn't call me to be Northwest Baptist Church. He didn't call me to be a church like Brother Ross or like Brother Angel. He called us to be what we are, to run our course. And if I get looking at other preachers, I get frustrated. Why can't I be like them? And by the way, maybe if you knew what they really were, maybe you won't want to be like them. Some of you get your eyes upon other Christians in a church house and think, well, they're the elite Christians and they're the favorite ones. And you base your presumption off what you see, what you hear. There's no truth to it. You think, if I could be like them, I'd be better. No, you run your course. Amen. Quit looking at others around you. Look at Christ Jesus. If you look at others around you, when you compare, you get frustrated, you get jealous, you get bitter. And it's amazing tonight how the church house is packed full of jealous and bitter people. So this church preacher, you'd be surprised how many folks tonight, if we peel back the layers of our heart, how many folks are jealous of each other and bitter and angry for no reason at all. Listen, I want to remind us that we're flesh and blood. We're men at best. There's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. So we come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. We come in our best dressed apparel and our best behavior. But when we peel all back on Mondays, we're all the same. Same problems. This week I was talking to Brother Angel, a man that I love dearly. Been a hero of mine for a long time. And I said, Brother Angel, how's your church going? He runs way more than we run. 80 kids in school this year. He said, preacher? And he goes, I'm just frustrated because my church isn't going all the right direction. We have this idea that if we get to be a big church someday, that somehow we'll arrive. You know, a big church has big problems. Same people. Same situations. There's no perfect church, no perfect school you can go to. Boy, if I went to that school, there'd be no problems in that school. But all the kids at that school get along. Hop. No, you have 80 more kids fighting each other. Why? Because we're just, at the end of the day, we have the same problems. And so keep your eyes on Christ. Don't compare yourself. You ladies, don't compare yourself amongst yourselves. I think that's one of the biggest insecurities. I know I'm treading on dangerous ground, so don't shoot me here. I think that's one of the biggest insecurities of women today is you come to this church, you come to church house, you compare yourself amongst each other. Quit comparing. You don't know what that lady is. You know who she is behind closed doors. You don't know how she thinks or how much in her heart. Quit comparing yourself. You be a lady. You be a virtuous woman. You be God's lady. You be your husband's wife. Quit comparing yourself amongst each other and thinking that she's better, you're better. We wonder where our kids get it when we as adults act like teenagers still. So look to Jesus Christ and look to Him and run your race. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. He didn't say if the church is right, you'll have peace. He didn't say if everybody else treats you right, you'll have peace. He didn't say if everything's perfect, you have perfect peace. He said if you'll keep Him in your mind and keep Him in your heart and keep your mind upon Him, He'll give you perfect peace. Tonight, if you're frustrated tonight and angry and bitter, it's not because of what somebody else did to you, it's because of where your heart and mind is at. And so pursue God's will. My generation, I want to say tonight, to purpose to do God's work. I want to remind us tonight, Matthew 16:24. Where Christ said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If you are a disciple of Christ, there'll be a cross to bear. Now, we're all interested tonight in crowns. Before you ever get a crown, there'll be a cross. Amen. And so I want tonight to encourage my generation, those of my generation, I want to encourage you tonight to pursue the work of God. Endure the cross. Bear the cross of Christ with patience. Patiently endure. Tonight, if you don't patiently endure the cross of Christ, you're going to add misery to misery and sin to your sin. It's amazing how that we want to just do our own thing and neglect the cross that Christ has given us. And then we want to live our own life and do our own thing and say, God, why aren't you blessing me? God, why is my life a mess? I get those. I'm not trying to be ugly or unkind, but I want to defend the name of Christ Jesus. This idea that I can live my life, I want to live my life, and I can go out and fornicate, run around and do all kinds of crazy stuff, and then blame God when my life falls apart. Don't you blame God.
Come on.
Don't you blame God for the sin that you're reaping, that you've sown. you're going to miss church, and you're going to run around and not do right, and sneak around behind people's backs, and mess around, and live, go to the wrong place, listen to the wrong kind of music, and watch the wrong kind of things, and have the wrong kind of friends. And don't you get mad at God when your life falls apart. Don't you blame God because you're unfaithfulness to God. But you got to patiently endure the cross of Christ with patience. That means you take the suffering, you take the cross, you take the trials, you take the temptations, you patiently endure them until you finish your course. So now I say to my generation, run for Christ, run your course. Some of us, you want to trade the cross for a more convenient occupation, but you must bear the cross before you wear a crown. We live in a generation that wants a convenient Christianity. But then we're jealous when Christ doesn't bless us like He blesses those that labor for Him. Why can't I be like? You can be like. God's a respecter of persons. You honor Him and put Him first in your life and serve Him. God will bless you like anybody else that He blesses. I want to say tonight, the generation before me, finish. Finish. You're in the race. Finish the course because others are watching you. Tonight I want to say to my generation, run your course. Because others are waiting for you. Number 3 tonight, the generation after me, I want to say, start your race. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. Let's run with patience the race that is set before us. Tonight, young folks, tonight, the generation behind me. That means if you're under 20, you're probably the generation behind me. Under 30. You're behind me. Your course is beginning. It's starting. You're practicing. You're in the training, but it's beginning. It's starting. So I want to tell you tonight that you must start your race. Look up here, girls. You must start your race. You must lay aside your distractions. The Bible says lay aside every weight that so easily beset you. So you must lay aside your distractions. Your distractions. Your will over God's will is a distraction. We have a generation coming up that wants to do their own thing and they say, God bless what I want to do. What I'm saying tonight is that you ought to find God's will for your life first. We have this idea that, well, I want to do my will and then somehow try to figure out how I can fit God in my will. No, you got to find God's will for your life and fit what you want in there if it fits. I said, I want to encourage you tonight that there ought to be no occupation, no job, no hobby that takes you out of God's will. No matter what you want to do, you say, God, is this your will for my life? God, if I do this, I pursue this will, can I serve you? I know this probably doesn't receive well, but I believe this. Before you go somewhere to find a job, you're going to find a church there. You shouldn't be able to find a job and try to find a church in that area. I think putting God first in your life, no matter what you do, is important to run your course. But now we have a generation that simply tries to fit God in their life. When the generation before us, the porters and the urbans and the herd, others be like those men. They have lived their life putting God first in their life. Not a job or a hobby. But now the generation behind me, they've changed somewhat. I know there can be a disconnect at times, but tonight I want to say to you, the generation behind me, don't go do your will trying to fit God in it. You put God first, and let God then take care of the rest. So your will over God's will can be a distraction. God says, lay it aside. Social media today is a distraction. Now, I'm not saying tonight that it can't be used. All right? Generation behind me, they think that social media is important. It can be used. I think it's a waste of time. But don't let it be a distraction. Don't let it be disconnect you from the real world. Don't let it take you down a road of sin. I'm amazed at what takes place on social media. And parents, you got to be careful what your kids are involved in on phones, and smartphones, and iPads. I preach it over and over again, but I'm amazed that when I see young folks under 12 years old handling a smartphone, it doesn't make any sense to me. Any sense to me that whatsoever to have that much access to all the things that go on in the place. By the way, there's social media. There are apps out there designed simply for immorality. That's all they're for. this sexting and these pictures that are people are taking, there's apps out there that are just for that. If your kids get into that stuff, that's all they're going to see is that kind of nonsense. And that is a distraction. By the way, young folks, you got to be, you were raised in a Christian home. You've heard the word of God preached. You got to be spiritual enough to say, you know what, I'm not going to go down that path. And if you can't handle that, say to your parents, I can't handle my phone. Please take it back from me. Be spiritual in your life. Run your race. Start running your race. Wrong friends are a distraction. We're not to uniquely yoke with unbelievers, the Bible tells us. So wrong friends can be a distraction. The wrong boyfriend, the wrong girlfriend can be. And by the way, if you have a boyfriend or girlfriend that wants to take you out of God's will, they're the wrong one for you. The wrong one for you. They want you to change your standards and how you've lived your life and how you've walked with God and pull you away from your mother and pull you away from your parents. They won't honor your parents. They won't honor you one day. Yeah. And so you have to get some standards about you. Quit living how you feel. Live according to the principles of God's Word. Run your, start the race. This idea that I'm going to start when I'm 40 or 45 and live my life how I want to until then is nonsense. You'll pick up so much baggage and scars that you might not even be able to serve God when you're 40 or 45 if you live that way. Start right now to run your race. This idea that life is all about me and having fun is a distraction. This idea that, you know, your Christian life has to be fun and enjoyable or else I won't run is a distraction. Sometimes the Christian life is hard. Sometimes it is hard. Sometimes it is a sacrifice. Sometimes there is it is not easy. Sometimes you got to say to your friends and family, I'm not going that direction. And they'll despise you and criticize you for it. Sometimes your friends will break off and say, no, if that's what you can be. I'm not going to be your friend anymore. But they never were your friend in the first place. And so sometimes the Christian life is not about having fun. Was it fun to be thrown into a fiery furnace? Was it fun to be thrown into a lion's den? But in all that sacrifice and service, God bless these people and these men and women that have gone before us. Lay aside your distraction that will cause you not to serve God. Be careful what you listen to on the radios, on your iPods, on your dates me, you know, an iPod is out of date, you know, on your smartphones. Be careful of the music you listen. I'm amazed that sometimes every now and then you come across what Christians are listening to. Christians in our church listen to on their spare time. I'm amazed at the rock and the hard rock and the country that folks listen to. You wonder why can't I be spiritual? Because you get your mind full of junk. That's why. Tell us. Be careful of the distractions. So I don't think it's a sin. Well, you listen, I'll tell you something. You young folks, quit trying to change the race and get in the race. The race comes with the same standards that we have. I didn't make up the standards. I didn't think them up. I didn't make them up. They're not my preferences. They're the Word of God that set these standards and these standards and principles that God has given before us. And I got them from somebody else. They were given, I received them from somebody else. They passed the baton on to me. And you young folks, quit trying to change the standards and just run the race. This idea, well, preacher, your standards are not my standards. I think differently. Well, so from God's Word, show me where your standards are right then. Amen. Don't change the race. Get in the race. Amen. Idea. Well, I don't believe that. It's not important anymore. Listen, it was important for grandpa and grandma. It's important for me. That's important for you as well. I'm telling you something. Modesty has always been important. The preacher is 2019. We can show our knees now. And we can be modest. Let's not change one iota. Quit changing the standard. Just get in the race. This idea that it doesn't matter how you dress. What does it matter if it's how you dress anymore? It's all about what's on the inside. If your heart was right. You want to be on the outside too. And so don't change the standards. Don't think that there's no big deal what you listen on the radio or your music. This idea that, but preacher, you're an old guy now. And contemporary music is the new thing. And this because you don't like it doesn't mean it's wrong. Don't change the standard. Just run the race. I didn't set the standard. I didn't make the standard. I didn't change the standard. I just received it from the Word of God and from those who ran before me. And I want to pass it on to somebody else coming behind me. That doesn't want to change the standard, but wants to just simply run the race. Amen. So lay aside your distraction. Lay aside your deception. There's a besetting sin as a deception. You see, you are deceived to believe that sin will bring you joy. You're deceived. It's a deception. And God says, if you're to run the race, lay aside the distraction and the deception. That besetting sin is a deception. You think tonight if that sin is going to bring you joy, sometimes you are deceived that you think that if you participate in that sin, it'll never end in death. That's a deception. That's a besetting sin. I can play with that sin and it'll never bother me. I can flirt with fornication and it won't bother me. No, you'll fornicate. There is. Listen. I'm going to tell you something. Listen for you young men. By the way, all you men, look up here. We are not designed as men to endure fornication, the temptation of immorality, of sex. Can I be that blunt?
Come on.
We're not. That's why God said to Timothy. That's what Timothy told Timothy. Timothy, flee youthful lust, because we are not made as men to run or to be able to stay in the arena of sexual temptation and not fall. None of us has the ability or the power. Many strong men have been slain by her. When you think I got this under control, it doesn't bother me, then you have deceived yourself.
Come on.
So you must run. You must flee from the sexual temptation, because not one of us is able to, day after day, withstand that and not fall.
Come on now.
But we're deceived. Won't bother me any. Yeah, cleanings bothers you, sir. Watching the wrong things bother you, sir, young man. Pornography will bother you. It'll bother you, and so you've got to lay aside that deception and say, it won't bother me. It will bother you. There will be a consequence. You will fall.
Amen.
Some are deceived by the thing of lying. I'm amazed at how many young folks think it's okay to lie. That's their besetting sin. They're just liars. Hey, stop. Hey, run the race and quit. You're lying. Just stop.
That's good.
Get in the race. Then I want to say, lastly, and I've already mentioned this, lay hold on the race. Those coming behind me. The Christian life is not about you running the race you want to run. It's about running the race that has been set before us. It's not a Baptist race. It's not an old man race. It's the race that God set before us. Those that have gone before me didn't have the right to change the race. They only had to run their course. When I took the baton from those that passed it to me, I didn't have the right to change the race, to change the standards, to change the Word of God. I can only run with the baton and finish my course. Young folks said, as much as I love you, and by the way, a lot of folks have given up on the generation coming up behind me. I'm not going to give up on the generation coming behind me. Listen, there's still some young folks out there that want to serve God and love God and do right. And the peer pressure is for them to go the wrong direction. And as happens in our church, in our schools, by the way, in our colleges, by the way, discourage young folks from living right. Don't listen, young people tonight, don't let college change you. Don't let college change what you believe. And say, well, that church that you go to, it's a small little church. Your preacher is just a small preacher. Well, not small in size, but he's just a no-name preacher. We know better. Listen, don't let college change you. Let's take it back up with the Word of God. Don't let the college students don't let peer pressure to change your standard on dress and music and modesty and standards and principles. Don't let them change you. Because the race that God set before you, He has chosen the race. It's His race that we must finish our course in. And so lay hold on the race. This race comes with the same standards and doctrines of separation that others who have run before you had. This great call of witnesses that came before us had the same standards, the same separation, the same doctrine. We don't have the right to change it. Tonight I want to encourage you young folks tonight starting this race to live by the Word of God and not by how you feel. It's time for some of you young folks who are teenagers and young adults to stop living by how you feel and live by biblical truths and principles. Tonight, I don't feel like being here. I really don't. Tonight, I sat down on my lazy boy at home about 4:30, fell asleep. It's like, oh boy, I don't really want to wake up and go to church tonight. I was called Victor and say, I don't feel good. But principle says, hey, fat boy, get to church. You know, I'll be honest. I'll be telling you the truth tonight. You may not like it. Maybe I'm too transparent. There have been times where I don't feel like being faithful to my wife. So what? Yeah, there's some times in my life where it's like, The grass looks greener somewhere else. Now don't look at me pious like this ever happened to you, hypocrite. But you know why we're married 30 years? Because two people decided to live by principles and truth rather than by how we feel. And young folks, I'm telling you something. There's going to come a time in your life you begin to live by principles and truth, not by how you feel. Those days, you got to put away childish things. Well, but preacher, when I listen to that music, it makes me feel good. But it's to draw you closer to God. Can you boogie-woogie with the best of them and then draw close to God? Can you listen to the vile rap music and the vile profanity on that music and then pray to Heavenly Father about how He can bless you?
Come on now.
Help your mind and your heart? Can you watch the things on TV and the movies and the sorcery and the vampires and the werewolves and the zombies and all the magic and the sorcery on television that people are watching? They say, let's get around and worship God tonight. Say, well, but I feel. Doesn't matter how you feel, young people. See, we raise a duration that everything's based on how you feel. Do you feel good? Well, that's what we're here for. I'm not here to make you feel good.
Come on. Amen.
You're not here to make me feel good, unless you want to. I like cookies and brownies. And pizza and tacos, they make me feel good. And ice cream. I'm not picky at all. Food is fine with me. It's the race. It's not a race that you can choose. It's the race that's set before us. And tonight, every one of us has a course to run. You have a course to run. Generation before me, you gray heads, tonight we respect you and honor you and thank you for your course. But finish.
Yes, sir.
Finish it. Don't retire. Don't retreat. Don't let down a standard. Finish your course. Tonight, generation, my generation, tonight, that's my generation, I say to you, run. Run. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and run. It's our time to run. If we're holding the baton. It's our time. We're to run tonight. Run. Generation behind me, I say to you, start. Start the race. Get in the race. Not your race, but the race. We have a course to finish. May we finish what God set before us. Tonight, Lord, I come to you and thank you, Lord, for your word. And I thank you, Lord, tonight for the race that you've given to us to run. The race that we all run. Everyone runs in this race that's a believer. May we run our course tonight faithfully. May we finish with joy. That we can honor and glorify you, Father. May we hear the words when we're off when we're finished. Well done, the good and faithful servant. And thou in the joy of the Lord. I pray that you'd help us tonight, Father. Help each generation tonight to finish that race, that course. As the piano begins to play tonight, invitation.